The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast. This is your host Jason on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I seem to forget to say that often just because it's our first year. We have a great special episode for you. I'd like to say it's mostly because of me, but it's not. It's our first week of football. It's here. We're ready to go. We are missing Jen, our normal panelist, but in return, we have a special guest, Ramona from the Sports Gal Pals show, also on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can visit that show on sportsgalpal.com. How are you doing, Ramona?
I'm good. I'm very good. Very excited that football is finally here, though. Well, pro football, because I was delightfully disappointed this weekend in college. So, you know, there you go.
And we have, that's good. You know, I feel like we just talked because we did. I was thinking to myself, man, I should ask you how you're doing. It's like we just talked late yesterday when recording. I was a guest on your show, which was a great time. But
yeah.
Before I get to the show, I should introduce the rest of the panel. We have Zach. He is our local Donald Trump voter and Patriot fan. I haven't quite discovered which one is more disqualifying as a human feature. But welcome to the show, Zach. Yeah, you won't be able to live that down, I think.
So. I don't know where you guys got the idea that I was supporting Trump.
Is he at least willing to release his tax records?
I don't know, Zach. Do you even
I'm not
pay
a
taxes?
Trump supporter.
I don't think you're old enough to pay taxes. So yeah, we know you're not a Trump supporter, but in my mind, I want to make you into a Trump supporter so I can kind of.
All Patriots supporters are Trump supporters.
Yeah, I feel like they're similar.
It's dirty to cheer for Patriots. It's dirty to cheer for Donald Trump. It's all dirty. Yeah.
I can't complain with that analysis.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, you're a Patriots fan. So it could be worse, though. You could be a Steelers fan. Or it could be worse. You could be like my compatriot. I don't even know which one it is. I'll add a couple letters. My usual best buddy on the show, T-Hole Bedick. He's coming to us live from his car. He's driving. He's putting his life on the line to be on the show. Welcome to the show, T-Hole.
It's good to be back. It's good to be here with Ramona. I follow all of her work. She's very diligent, and she's very knowledgeable, and I'm excited to see what she has to say, what she has to bring to the table. Zach, it's always a pleasure having you around. My little Trumpkin, and he's 16 years old, and he's like doing big things. He's on podcasts. He writes for Razzball.com. He's an inspiration, and I'm trying to guide him in this thing we call life.
And you're doing a great job, T-Hole.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
And it's not only is T-Hole, I mean, obviously that's not the best recording we have him because he is coming from a car, but I have to admit I actually have music playing in the background, which will show up on the podcast. So I think the theme of this podcast will be production value. That's what we're gonna do. So I did shut off the music. We're gonna keep it because I don't like doing stuff over. We're just gonna roll with it. Now, before we get to our season preview, which I mean we sort of did our season preview last week, we kind of went over some stuff. I can't even remember, so my recall is completely bad and terrible. We are going to go over the games of the season, but I did first want to go over some of the stuff that Ramona is doing. Obviously, we already plugged her site. I wouldn't call it plug, though. I would love to, you know, just associate with this site, of course. But, you know, she was telling me about this pet project that she's doing. And it is called We Should Not Be Friends. It's, well, I don't want to describe it because I don't do it. But I feel like this applies to people like me who are single and who are dating at, I don't know what, how old you, I don't know if we discussed this or not, Ramona, but I feel like you're around my age. I'm 33. T-Hole is around my age. I don't ask him his age. I don't know why. I guess I should. But Zach is a little bit younger. Dating to him still involves cooties, I believe. So
so does my co-host, so that works.
Right. Okay, so perfect. I guess the lesson here is men never change. But why don't you tell me about this little side project that you're doing? It really interests me because I could use some dating advice, and this feels like a place I could go.
Oh, no, don't get dating advice from Tim and I. You're
okay,
going to be screwed.
So avoid the show. We don't want to
No,
that,
don't
though.
Avoid the show. Don't avoid the show. No, it's called We Should Not Be Friends. So I, through Pod Vader from Blog Talk Radio, they've got that great show, Next Fan Up. Last year for Sports Gal Pal, I had all of his guys on, all 32 guys, and we did previews for each NFL team. And one of the guys was the Atlanta Falcons fan, Tim Jester. And Tim and I legitimately became best friends via the internet because he came on my show and we talked every day. And we've been through each other through breakups. He was there with me while my husband was dying. I mean, some serious stuff. And he's hilarious. So our phone conversations, and people don't understand how we can be best friends. He lives in Atlanta. I live in Virginia. And we've only met in real life twice. So they're like, how in the world does this work? So we stop talking to each other every day on the phone, and we basically record our conversations. He's very mean to me. We really shouldn't be friends. He claims he hates me a lot. And, you know, we've been through dating, and he almost got kidnapped once. That's a hilarious episode. And just it's an interesting, it's almost like a multi-generational thing, because I am significantly older than Tim, because I'm 36 and he's 20. He just turned 29, so there's that age difference there too, and men and women and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, it's a funny show.
This actually sounds like a Postal Service album. I don't know if the Postal Service, they had that one album back in the day, but this feels like, you know, two people sending music back to each other. And, you know, this actually sounds like an indie song, to be honest, this whole thing. But this sounds really cool. I think people should check this out. Apparently I shouldn't, because I'm having dating issues. T-Hole does not have dating issues, right, T-Hole?
You could say that. I do. I kind of get dive head over heels into these. You know, I'll play the field for a while until that hits that right woman. And then I go full-on psychotic. I mean, I have so many, like, insecurities and jealousy
crazy
issues.
Crazy girl brain.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like
you described crazy girl brain on our show. Yeah, you have crazy girl brain where you either make, like, you go on a great date and you assume, okay, you guys are going to get married. Yeah, you're one of those.
Yeah,
you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm one of those. And it's difficult. It makes focusing on all of these fantasy sports, podcasts, writing, shows, my real job, everything else.
Because you're focusing
so
on other fantasies.
I don't know. I don't know if you want to know T-Hole's fantasies. He's, I mean, my first
Ramona.
Instinct is to call him a romantic, but it's kind of like one of those softcore porn type of things on Showtime, like the shows that air past 3 a.m. That's the type
after
of romantic.
Dark.
Yeah,
exactly.
After Dark.
Yeah, Showtime
After Dark. I don't even know the name because I don't know the shows either. So
no,
I think, Zach, you know, right? I mean,
yeah.
Zach's still watching the Spice Channel all fuzzed out.
Right.
Like,
yeah, Zach is in the scrambled porn stage, I think.
Yeah, he's still doing that. That's cool.
No, it sounds like, honestly, he sounds like a lot of guys that actually approach me for dates and things like that. So, yeah, no, I'm very familiar with guys like, yes.
Yeah, T-Hole is definitely a type. I think that would be the best descriptor for him, I can decide. But he's a wonderful type.
Yes.
And we've completely made Zach mute. So this is definitely not a topic.
Oh my god, all these old people are talking about dating. Ew.
He's
so
like,
gross.
I came here to talk about football, and he's complete at a complete loss. But don't worry, Zach, you'll have your light of day. We'll switch over to the season because there's a lot to talk about. Before we switch, I just want to get it out of the way that we are sponsored by SeatGeek. Partially, we have a couple sponsors, but SeatGeek, T-Hole uses it. They're basically like Ticketmaster. But without all the annoying hidden charges and taxes and fees and giving your left kidney, which I've done once. It's not cool. You talk to a Russian, it happens. It's not something you want to deal with. If you go to SeatGeek.com, you can go get their app. Enter the promo code RAZZNFL. You get $20 refund. Or not refund, but you get $20 back when you make your first ticket purchase. So be free to check that out. So, now that the essential plug is done, that was an actual plug, not the Ramona stuff. That was the good stuff. So, I would like to talk
about... We like SeatGeek.
See, yeah, if you want. I mean, you want to give $20 back to our listeners? I mean, that's
kind of me weird. Personally, no. I don't have that. No. Okay. I don't know what your download numbers are like, but definitely not. No. Yeah. Yay, SeatGeek. Keep the lights on.
All right. Sounds good. So we have football coming. I don't even know how. I'm very excited. I obviously don't know how to show it because I'm just kind of talking about it in such a low tone manner. But let's talk about the Super Bowl rematch. Now, the teams are a little bit different. I would say the quarterback situation is about the same as it was last season for the Broncos, in that it's precarious. I think I'll use that word.
Garbage.
Yeah, garbage works too, of course. We have the Panthers visiting there. Since Zach hasn't spoken since he said hello, I feel like I should go to him really quick so he can kind of get into his comfort
zone. He's
watching
the Lady and the Tramp again to see what love is. Really.
Yeah, I know. Actually, A Land Before Time would have been also good, just because at least it'll... I think they're up to the 14th iteration of that by now, or at least the 20th. It's been a while. Okay. But we do have the Panthers traveling to the Broncos. I'll go ahead. I don't have much analysis for this game, but I will say I have the Broncos winning this game, just because I can see the Panthers coming up flat. It's a home game. High altitude is always a factor. I wouldn't say weather is too much, just because it's not cold yet. Still, we're kind of in the end of summer. But I could see Panthers coming in a little flat. What do you say, Zach?
I think the biggest key to this game is going to be the Denver Broncos offensive line. We've seen some changes over the offseason, but not much. Again, I think the O-line gets to breathe a little bit easier because they'll have a quarterback that can actually move around in the pocket instead of, you know, stand in one place and, you know, come up short on the deep balls. And so the Carolina Panthers defensive line is probably or arguably one of the best in the NFL. And so I'm interested to see how they can handle the pass rush. I'm interested to see how Trevor Siemian can deal with his first start in the NFL. He at college, he looked okay, but he didn't inspire anyone. From fantasy perspectives on the Denver Broncos defense or offense, I'm starting CJ Anderson just because I think the offense is going to revolve around him. Kubiak has said numerous times that they want to make him the focal point of this offense. And I think not even just in this game, but I think on the season, he's going to average around 20 touches per game. And so I don't think the Carolina Panthers defense will change that for Kubiak.
All right. T-Hole, Zach, who you got winning this game? Let's go and go with that.
Man. I don't know what I emailed you. I think I may have said the Panthers.
You can always
Panthers.
Change the email. Yeah, you said the Panthers. It'd be the easy pick. T-Hole, who you got, man?
Yeah, spit it out, Zach. Come on, man. It's going to be the Denver Broncos. I took them in the game. I took them. If it was in Carolina, I'd probably lean Carolina. But they don't have Josh Norman right now. I think they're going to hit, you know, Demaryius and Sanders, newly signed Emmanuel or extended Emmanuel Sanders on some of these short passes, bubble screen, whatever. I think they're going to break one. I mean, I think Demaryius is definitely going to break one. I think they're going to take advantage of that, the young Carolina corners here should be a weakness, and if not, they're just going to run the ball, and they're going to do what they did to him last year defensively, which was destroy Cam Newton, release Von Miller from the outside. You saw what he did. He single-handedly ruined Cam Newton, ended the dab, ended everything that has anything good to do with the state of Carolina for the foreseeable future. It's over. I think both teams are going to regress a little bit here, but Denver's defense is still fully intact, other than, you know, Malik Jackson, and then my boy, the linebacker who signed with Chicago. That's a tough loss, but I think they're going to be just fine. Roby's a great third corner. I'm liking Denver's defense here, and I'm liking a fairly low-scoring game.
I wonder if Siemian does a lot of checkdowns to Virgil Green. As the old saying goes, rookie quarterbacks or inexperienced quarterbacks, I would say, try to tend to rely on their tight ends.
Is that really a saying?
You know that old children's story from the
it was the reason why we've liked tight ends on teams with rookie quarterbacks was because you know, they're the safety blanket. They're the targets, and, you know, they can do checkdowns. And, you know, I don't – like, again, I don't know if – yeah, I guess Emmanuel Sanders, he's always a nice PPR sleeper, but I don't know if he's going to throw the deep ball a whole bunch of times. I wonder if it's just like, you know – the offense revolving around C.J. Anderson and then Virgil Green as like the secure as the safety play.
Yeah, I did want to state that Denver Broncos are heavily not favored, so Carolina is picked to win. Are you going with T-Hole and myself, Ramona? You gonna go with Zach and the safe pick with the Panthers here?
I'm going with the Panthers because you guys forgot somebody. Kelvin Benjamin's back.
He will be limited, though, right? I mean,
I don't think so. I think they're downplaying him. I think they're being very smart in downplaying him. The kid had 1,000 yards when in his rookie season, 9 touchdowns, 73 passes. He is Cam Newton's favorite target. Plus, you have Devin Funchess, who had an outstanding year last year. You have Greg Olsen. You have Ted Ginn Jr. The offense is stacked now. And also, they've had all year to think about that loss to Denver. You think Cam Newton's really going to allow that to happen again? I don't think so. I think they're going to come in with the chip in the shoulder. Then they're going to come in focus, and I think they're ready to win this game.
Really quick.
Go ahead, Zach.
Ramona, so I totally agree with your analysis on, you know, Cam Newton's definitely going to be angry, and they're definitely going to, you know, get revenge. But you don't think that Kelvin Benjamin or the offense being stacked takes away from Benjamin?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It just adds to Cam Newton's weapons. And Cam Newton himself is a weapon as well. You know, and yes, Von Miller last year figured out a way to stop Cam Newton. You know, I mean, I watched that game and I was like, unbelievable. But Cam Newton, MVP last year, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league. I love the Panthers. I love their offense. I'm telling you, I feel like this is the year they're finally going to push through. They're my Super Bowl pick this year again.
You're not worried that
not allowed. No, be nice.
You're not worried, Ramona, that Benjamin has looked overweight and hasn't really looked like himself in his rookie year over the offseason?
I mean, you know, he's going to be soft. I mean, he had ACL surgery. I mean, it's hard to bounce back from that. But that's again, true. It's just another weapon. It's another thing that defenses are going to have to worry about with this already explosive Carolina offense.
All right, let's...
You can't discount that. You cannot discount that. And the fact that all three of you didn't bring it up, I was like, where? I was waiting.
Can we discount the fact that Von Miller absolutely destroyed the right tackle who's still in place for the Carolina Panthers? Is there anybody who can stop? Von Miller is arguably the best defensive player, pass rusher, in football. How is that guy all of a sudden going to be able to stop him? Cam Newton can't do anything when this ferocious... man, angry young black man, which Zach just referenced as a Trump supporter, and he's upset about that. But, yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's nothing Cam Newton can do with getting blindsided by a savage like Von Miller, the legend. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing any human can do. I mean, if your right tackle can't block, like, arguably the best defensive player in the game, I mean, there's not much. You can be angry all you want. What are you going to do?
Well, to be fair, Cam Newton can run away towards the end zone, so that's probably an option. So,
yeah, and they have lots of game film of Von Miller tackling Cam Newton, so they've had lots of ways to study what Von Miller did. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm split with T-Hole. I got your back, man. I'm with the anti-Trump crowd with you. I'll go Denver Broncos. I think it's just... it's kind of a weird thing because we haven't seen these teams in real football for so long. It's also an interesting matchup. On top of that, we have a team that's not favored playing at home. Of course, Carolina's coming in, as Ramona said, with a chip on their shoulder. Rightfully so. I feel like they thought that game was in their grasp, the Super Bowl at least. And, you know, it's the first week, so it's kind of hard to gauge how these teams will come out. Some, you know, a lot of teams will come out flat. A lot of them will come pumped up, but... yeah, we'll go down split. We'll go down to the Buccaneers and Falcons. Not really your primetime choice of football, I would say, even though it's the opening weekend. It's definitely a game that I probably will not pay too much attention to as much as I can. I have the Falcons winning that one. I did kind of flirt with the fact that Buccaneers could be a surprise team this year going to the playoffs, but it is at... What do they call their dome? Someone help me out.
Chocolate City.
The Georgia Dome.
Yeah, the Georgia Dome. Of course, I would get the dome name wrong because it's the name of the state. So that's a wonderful
okay,
thing.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's be really clear. As my co-host in the other show of mine is an Atlanta fan, and he'll even tell you, home field advantages is non-existent in Atlanta. It's just
so?
Non-existent.
Okay.
I know so. It just—they always sell their tickets to opposing teams. Now, granted, I doubt the Buccaneers fans' base is so large that they're going to travel, but it's there's a reason it's a dome.
Yeah, I feel like Matt Ryan does have some success there, but I'm still comfortable with the Falcons. Go ahead, like tell me why I'm wrong on the Bucs here. Like, are you liking more the Bucs? Are you feeling maybe the Falcons are the reason that they might have a clunky start here?
No, I like the Bucs in this matchup. This is one of those games where I'm not sure what's going to happen. They're so evenly matched in so many ways. I'm kind of curious. I've got a lot of questions about this game. Again, I want to see Jameis and is he finally going to rise up and be like an outstanding quarterback like we saw when he was at Florida State? Are we still going to have issues? I want to see how Sanu fits into the Falcons offense, like what's going to happen with him. I'm going to see if we finally get some defensive magic in Atlanta, with their head coach being like a defensive wunderkind. All these kind of questions I'm kind of wondering is like, these are the kind of two teams in division that has been so kind of like downtrodden that you're kind of going, is someone going to emerge? Because you got a gauntlet over there in Carolina. Lord knows what's going on in New Orleans. So right now, second place is up in the air between these two teams. Right now, the edge is slightly towards the Buccaneers, but it's a slight edge.
All right. Zach, where are you at on this?
It's funny. Ramona just took like all the talking points that I had prepared for this game.
God.
Sorry.
Shit.
If I heard Teal correctly, he picked the Teal.
That's about what you can pick. Gotcha.
I think I took Tampa Bay maybe in the upset here. I'm worried about Matt Ryan. He's just like last year. He was just so terrible to me. I always looked at him as kind of a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. So disappointing last season. Really looked bad, and then looked bad again this preseason. So I'm kind of concerned there. Julio's a little banged up. I think Tampa Bay. Jay and I talked about them as a possible. Kind of one of the few kind of possible surprise teams. We're kind of interested to see what they do there. Take Mike Evans has a really nice season. I think the coaching change helps them a little bit. It's tough to go on the road and get a dub, but I think Jameis is going to take a step this year. And I'm still not loving the Falcons' overall talent there. So I'm leaning the Bucs here. Money line me for that payday.
All right, we got two Bucs. I got the Falcons. Zach, what was your team of choice here?
I'm going to go with the Bucs, and I understand what Ramona said with how it's kind of unclear how this game's going to turn out. And me personally, and I'm writing about this for the Stardom Sit'em article that's going to come out Saturday. Mm-hmm. But I think the Bucs attack the Falcons on the ground, and this is a team that against running backs has given up the fourth most points in the entire NFL. Meanwhile, the secondary for Atlanta is definitely one of the most underrated in the entire league. They have Desmond Trufant, they have a standout rookie Keanu Neal that they drafted, and
he's out.
Keanu Neal is out.
As far as I know.
Uh oh.
Aside from Neal,
we got some
Neal.
Calling out, man. What you gonna do?
I've been wrong before, but
he has. Yeah.
Build your wall, Zach. Build your wall.
I'm looking at it now, and he has been
make yourself great again, man.
That was my bad. But aside from Keanu Neal, they still have Desmond Trufant. They still have a pretty underrated secondary. I get it that he's lost weight, and I get it that he has he has Mike Evans. They're still building their relationship and chemistry. But with Doug Martin and Charles Sims, I think that the Bucs are going to win this probably based off their defense and running game.
All right, so I'm a man by myself on an island. That's okay. We'll move on to the next matchup.
How can you go against our playoff pick, dude?
I don't know. I just feel like the Falcons got this one. I feel like the Falcons always kind of start off. Well, actually, I don't think they start off very strong, to be honest. I'm actually kind of convincing myself out of it. I'm going to stick with the Falcons.
No, last year, they started off really strong.
Oh, right.
They won
okay.
Five in a row.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they collapsed, and no one could understand why.
Right.
You're right.
It's probably because the NFC South, it just happens. So actually, the Panthers probably happened too.
Blame Tim. No, they beat the Panthers. I mean, they beat the Panthers and they almost beat them again. No, I blame Tim for everything. So that's what I do, my co-host. Yeah,
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I don't know him, but I'll blame him. Yeah, I mean,
blame Tim. Let's do hashtag blame Tim, everyone. Let's make that trending on Twitter.
We'll do it. Yeah. I mean, Zach will get a little break too. He'll have a little vacation from us blaming him for everything. All right. So Bills and Ravens. You know, I'm looking at the pick'em, not to plug ESPN, but I'm just looking at it just for the see who's there. It's pretty close, actually. I mean, people are picking the Bills, but I got the Bills, but it's closer than I think it should be because I think the Ravens aren't that impressive this season. I feel like they're the same team they were last year. Do you guys see any difference between the 2 years for the Ravens or
Steve Smith is just older. Right. I mean, that's about
that
it.
That seems like the same story every year, right?
Yeah, it's just sad. It's sad. I mean, and then, like, you know, Forsett and all the stuff going on there. And I'm just like, oh, Ravens, how mighty you once were.
And, you know, Bills are on the upswing. T-Hole, I know, you know, your boy Tyrod Taylor, the hype is here finally. What do you see? You think he throws for 5 touchdowns opening? You calling for that?
Quote the Raven, nevermore. Isn't it funny how everybody in America is talking about Tyrod Taylor like I literally was the first person on Earth, and yet nobody has ever given me one single ounce of credit for being the first discoverer of a legend.
I would say I give you credit. I give you credit, man. You were talking about it.
I called him out.
I
made a 10-minute video before he was even awarded the starting job. Before it was even nobody even knew he was going to get. Nobody thought he was going to be the backup. Nobody gives me any respect. I'm Rodney Dangerfield. Sick of it.
So I would admit, like in the sphere of influence that I control, you were the first person to tell me about Tyrod Taylor. Granted, that those amount of people are probably like 20. So I think out of 20 people, you told me first about Tyrod Taylor. So I'll give you that credit. Yeah.
Okay. 1 out of 20 is good. Yeah. And then, I'm taking Buffalo. You know, I feel bad for them. They've had both their rookie defensive players, first, second round pick. One's missing a huge chunk of the season. The other one's out for the season. I feel terrible about it. I'm a little concerned, but I think it's just going to lead to them having to throw a little bit more. And Baltimore's defense, you know, I was talking to them with somebody today, you know, they're a little old. The secondary I'm worried about. Jimmy Smith was banged up last year. We don't know if he's fully healthy. He's their best player in the secondary. The front seven's got a little bit of talent on it, but I think they'll definitely be able to throw on them. So, yeah, I think Tyrod has a nice game, and I think the Bills come out victorious as they surprise this season and win 10 or 11 games.
All right, but you're going to chicken out on the 5-touchdown call, huh? I'll say he gets 5 touchdowns. What do you think about that? No, I say 5.
That's cool.
Man. Forget 3.
4 passing and 1 running or 3 and 2?
Yeah, let's do that. We can mix around it. I say 4 pa- Nah, let's say 3 passing, 2 rush. I think that's fair. Yeah. All right, how do you guys feel about it? You call in the Bills here. It's pretty easy.
Tyrod.
Are you not a fan? Do you not buy into the hype? Or?
Well, no. Tyrod's actually from my hometown.
Oh, okay.
No, that would be really wrong because I'm way older than he is. No. And I was married then. Stop it.
I think it'd be okay, though. I give you permission. It's all good.
No. Plus, again, he went to ACC school. That's not my ACC school, so it just will never work. You know, 5 touchdowns is a lot.
Oh, I'm very reckless with my calls. So
you are very
remember,
reckless.
Remember, we discussed this. I picked the Chargers to win the Super Bowl, so you could say there's no such thing as expert analysis. Yeah, that is clinically crazy, I believe. Yeah.
No.
So you're going Ravens.
I think I'm going to go Ravens. Home game, okay. It's going to be close. You know, again, you never know if Rex Ryan, but he always seems to manage to lose the games he's supposed to win and then win the games he's supposed to lose. I mean, that's just
right.
I am excited to see my baby. I miss him very much in Philadelphia, Shady McCoy, back on the field. I miss him so much, and I want him so bad.
He looks good, too. He's going to go off.
He looks so good. I'm like, come on. Come back. Chip Kelly's been banished. Come, Shady. Come. Please. Yeah, it's not happening. So.
And Shady took another VTX former VTech quarterback's woman recently. He took Marcus Vick's baby mom. Just a little fun fact for you guys.
Yeah, well, I have many things to say about VTech, VPI. It sounds like a venereal disease. Sorry, Hokie fans. Wah, wah.
I agree. As someone who doesn't know college football, I would, or college whatever, you know, in this area, the college sports scenes in general, I would agree with that assessment. So
yeah, it's very true. Now, you know, it's going to be an interesting game. I give it to the Ravens just because of home, and I'm curious because they're healthy right now. Now, if this were like game five or six, then I would be saying maybe the Bills because all the players would be banged up by then. But you know, they're kind of still healthy still. So,
all right, Zach, give me a short answer on this one because I want to move. I want to get because these early games are kind of. I mean, I expect better from the openers. I mean, not that I expect anything. Football is back, so I'm happy. But some of these matchups are like, I'm watching another game, I think. So, Zach, who you got, Bills or Ravens?
I got Ravens. And T-Hole and I constantly, it seems like, we butt heads over the production of Tyrod Taylor and Sammy Watkins this year. But just quickly, Flacco has another year under his belt for the first time since 2011. The same offensive coordinator is returning for him. He'll have Steve Smith, have Rashad Perriman returning from injury, Mike Wallace, they'll have Kamar Aiken, and they still have the three-headed tight end monster of Crockett Gilmore, Max Williams, and Dennis Pitta. The Buffalo Bills defense just looks bad.
Well,
with all the injuries.
That's fair enough. I would only say, you know, Joe Flacco's been around the block a little, so I don't think offensive coordinators are his issue at this point. I think he's just kind of a mediocre quarterback. And Dennis Pitta, saying he's back just means, you know, he's going to be back to the IR in about 2 weeks. So
he's the Keenan Allen of the Ravens.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is he going Poe again on us? He might be. I don't know. Production value. That's the theme. Remember that, guys. All right. Bears and Texans. We got the Bears going to Houston. It's heavily favored for the Texans. I will state that. I have the Bears. I feel like they're not that good of a team, but I don't really think too much of the Texans either. I mean, they have DeAndre Hopkins. I think, is J.J. Watt starting or is he still kind of iffy? I don't really
catch it. They removed him from the pub list.
All right. So is he starting though?
I'll
still stick with the Bears since I said it. I don't want to change my opinion based on one person, even though that person is probably the best defensive player in the modern era. But, because that's how I roll. I think the Bears can be a train wreck. I've never been a fan of Cutler, but I think he gets a little more heat than he should. I'll just go with the Bears just to be contrarian. How do you guys feel? Oh, Ramona, we were talking about the Bears a little bit. How are you feeling about the Bears?
I'm dating a super diehard Bears fan. It's unfortunate, you know, because he's insane, like legitimately.
Well, it could
insane.
Be worse. Patriots fan, you know.
It could
that's
be
true.
Probably, it
that's
could be a
true.
Hokie. I mean, all Hokie right. would be worse in my sphere.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
that would be absolutely the worst. But he loves Kyle Fuller, who was a Hokie. See what
How's
I mean?
He feeling about the opener? I mean, is he?
Oh,
have you gotten any
no,
insight?
No, he's one of those crazy fans. He's one of those crazy fans that believes that they're going to go to a Super Bowl.
Like me.
And,
okay. Cool.
Yeah, he's insane. So
I can relate. No, I can relate. No, the guy's a keeper. Trust me.
I feel like if the Texans, if they finally feel like they have all the pieces put together, if they don't figure out a way to win at this point this year, a way to get out of that dismal division they're in, or, you know, as the Indianapolis Colts are forever kind of just being average or barely above average, then Bill O'Brien needs to go. You cannot have better defensive weapons than what they've got. They seem like they've got great offensive weapons. It just somehow it just doesn't seem to click together. But in this opener, I do feel like the Texans are going to prevail. I just feel like, again, we're uncertain of Cutler's ability to lead a team. I've never been convinced he's a top tier quarterback. I don't think, you know, outside of Alshon Jeffrey, I'm kind of like, okay, who else does he have? I feel like that defense is suspect. We are not telling the man I'm dating about the show, because he'll be very upset that I said this.
Well, he'd be proud of me. He'd be proud of my pick, I think. So maybe we should.
You're not his type, so okay. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's going to work out.
We don't know that now. If I pick the Bears, maybe there's a, you know, a door opens.
I just feel like, again, it's one of those, I'm just like, this is the year. I like Brock Osweiler as a quarterback. I don't feel like Denver ever suited him very well. But I feel like here, in this Texans kind of offense, the way they've got it set up, he could do very well. I feel like this is Texans' game to lose, so I'm going Texans.
All right, T-Hole, what's your feeling on this game? Are you with the Bears love here? I'm assuming you're not, but because you're a rational human being, I think.
T-Hole isn't here.
Is he not? Did we lose him?
Yeah.
Production value.
No, Trump wouldn't allow him to come back into the
country. Yeah, I hope he didn't get into an accident or anything. So that was my only fear.
Maybe, again, he's searching for the great hope that is Tyrod Taylor right now in the 5 touchdowns.
He wanted to go out on a high point. So we'll go straight to you, Zach, as I recall him. Like I said, we'll just roll with it because I'm not going to do this off the air. Again, our theme, we're just going to go with it. Zach, you feeling anything from the Bears or is it the Texans for you?
It's Texans for me, and I agree 110% about the issues with the Bears that Ramona pointed out. And also, too, I'd like to point out the fact that it's looking like the Bears will miss 3 of their starting defensive backs, and that's never good. They also placed linebacker Pernell McPhee on the PUP list to start the year. And so, you know, with Hopkins, Will Fuller, yeah, even Jalen Strong, if he can contribute, I think Osweiler has a very nice day. And even if, you know, if he starts to make mistakes, they already said they want to win football games with their running backs and their defense. So they want to, you know, control the game, run the ball, and rely on defense. And I think Lamar Miller should not have any issues against the Bears' rush defense that they ranked 11th in the NFL against running backs, so they're not the worst, but they're certainly not the best.
All right, moving on. Bengals at the Jets. I got Bengals. I'm assuming everyone else does. Is there much arguments to be had here, or are we good with that?
No, I like the Jets.
I like the Jets, too.
Okay. I like the Jets.
Wow, what's going on?
What are you talking
here?
About? Brandon
yeah,
Marshall,
I like the Jets,
Matt
too.
Forte,
all right, then
Ryan
tell me
Fitzpatrick.
Why.
Yeah. I just listed them. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, Brandon Marshall. I mean, this was a great team last year with just some unlucky circumstances. I mean, what an incredible year they had compared to what they had previously with Rex Ryan. It just shows good coaching and good management and less worshiping of feet really do matter in the NFL. And you should worry about what your coaches are doing off field. Seriously, I like the Jets a lot. I feel like they've got maturity in their quarterback. I feel like they've got consistency that they need desperately. This is a very good team. It's a sleeper team. A lot of people are kind of ignoring them. It's very, very good.
I'm okay with it. I'm still going with the Bengals because I said it. I'm a very stubborn human being. But Zach, are you agreeing with all the points? I heard you call out Jets too. Is that correct?
Yeah, I like the Jets, and I'm getting the feeling that this is going to be like a 10-7 type game or 7-6 final score.
All right, so a game that we should all avoid, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't like any offensive pieces, but I love both of their defense. When I say I don't like any of their offensive pieces, I'm not, you know, too thrilled about AJ Green, you know, visiting Revis Island. I think the Cincinnati defense should give Marshall and Decker some worries, but I like both of their defenses. This should be like, you know, old school style football game.
All right. Next game is, I would say it's pretty equal in that they're both kind of bad, but they could surprise me. I'm going to leave it open, but we have the Browns visiting the Eagles.
That's mean.
Yeah.
That's mean. That was just plain mean, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm wow.
I speak truths as much as I can.
wait, Yeehoo says the Chargers are going to win a Super Bowl. Speak truths.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
think you're trying to psych me out because we're playing fantasy football against each other this week.
Maybe. I mean, look, to be fair, I speak truth, but sometimes I do have delusions of grandeur. It has happened before. It will happen again. So I'm not going to put, you know, a ceiling on that aspect of myself. But, you know, I want to hear it from you because we talked about the Eagles a little bit last night, too. What do you see happening in this game? Like, what's going to go on? Because this is a new Eagles team. There is no more Chip Kelly.
Thank God.
There is obviously no Sam Bradford. I would say thank God.
Thank God.
That. Yeah.
Thank
which.
God.
And by the way, I didn't get a chance to ask you this
sure.
because, you know, it was on your show. But I want to know your feeling on the Sam Bradford trade because I feel like it was highway robbery for the Eagles. I thought it was a wonderful, brilliant – I mean, not brilliant. It just seemed to be low-hanging fruit. But I thought it was a great trade for the organization.
I did, too, considering how much we gave up to get this rookie quarterback. Because we gave up a lot to get this rookie quarterback. And when that was going on, I was like, what in the world? Because we'd already given up so much to get things like DeMarco Murray, which we don't even have anymore.
Right.
And who Chip Kelly broke last year. You know, I look at the team and I'm just like, who are these people? I mean, seriously, none of my jerseys in my closet match.
Right. It's Darren Sproles and then stuff.
Sproles, and that's so. It. Yeah, Sproles.
Well, of course, and Jordan Matthews. But are you comfortable with Wentz in game one here?
No.
Okay.
He's a rookie. No,
that's
absolutely
a fair
not.
Answer. Yeah.
Absolutely not. No, and any rookie, I'm sorry, like the people who are on the Ezekiel Elliott train, y'all are crazy. He's a rookie, like drafting him like fifth and sixth in your fantasy rounds. Y'all are crazy.
I'm hesitant on that too, because I should add, I pumped Melvin Gordon a lot last season, for obvious reasons.
In the like two or three rounds in a fantasy football draft, guys. None.
Right, and I do think Elliott's, of course, a better athlete and running
back. Yeah,
quarterback
actually hitting. Who do they have? Like some random tight end person? I don't know.
Yeah, I am a little nervous about
I'm definitely ahead of you know, you can tell how much I love Cowboys. No, I mean, the Eagles, it's going to be really interesting. I'm very excited to see the return of basically the Andy Reid offense. But here's what's going to happen, Eagles fans. We're going to do really well. We're going to do average this season. We might make a wild card spot. We won't advance in the playoffs. The next year, we'll win the division. We'll win like one or two playoff games and then fumble at the last minute. And it's just the way it goes. So, you know, yay, fly Eagles fly.
You're like a way more rational fan than I think of my Chargers. I'm learning here as we're dissecting the Eagles. Your level-headedness really is quite refreshing. So I did pick the Browns. Are you picking the Eagles to win this?
Of course I am.
Fly Eagles. Then. Still a true fan.
No, it's opening game. It's opening game. It's the Browns, for God's sakes. And it's RG3.
All right. Zach, I think you're the tiebreaker here. So
two things I want to bring up just because Ramona's a big Eagles fan. I don't know how you guys deal with your GM. Like, I don't know, Jay, if you have much experience actually listening.
GMing? No, I've never.
No, listening to the GM of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's really, like, nerdy, and he's, like, he's geeky, and
well,
he's, like,
thing,
has,
like
a
even,
nasal.
Still better than the GM in Dallas.
Right.
That's how we deal with it. We look and go, we don't have that. Or Dan Snyder. That's how we do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good I'd say that's the line between, you know, wow and oh my god. But yeah, even if I lived in Philly, which I've been there a few times, but I would never listen to sports talk radio there. I mean, I don't live.
Town that deals with like the 76ers, so really the Eagles aren't really that bad when you compare it to some of the other nonsense.
That's true.
Well, it's also an area where I'm sure, you know, the Radio Shack that sells batteries does amazing sales near the sports complex that they have there. So this
probably
is, you know,
yes, yeah. Yes.
Zach, who you got? Didn't you have like 3 points, and I think you only put out one? Was there a couple more?
Yeah, I'm gonna take Cleveland in this game.
Trump.
Wow, tiebreak in my favor. All right.
Zach, seriously, you were like my favorite on the show. Now you're dead to me. There's an irrational thing coming out.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Browns just because I think even without Josh Gordon, I think. RG3 has looked decent in the preseason, and that's really all they need to beat a Philadelphia team who their offensive line, I don't know if they've made much improvements, especially with, I believe one of them is suspended for a couple games. And am I right about that, or am I wrong?
Yes, no, you're right.
I don't know. You have to tell me. So.
Yeah. So their offensive
line
is already
here for. You're supposed to bring in the analytics, man. That's why I don't have to work.
Yeah.
I just talk.
Yeah, the Eagles' offensive line is already in shambles. You know, they have one of their guys. He's suspended for a couple games on the year. I'm not really confident about a rookie quarterback who, up until the Sam Bradford trade, wasn't going to play week one and I believe had some sort of injury, either like a shoulder or a collarbone injury. It might have even been ankle. I don't know what it was, but it was definitely an injury. And now all of a sudden he's perfectly fine and the starting QB week one against the Browns defense. That just kind of raises some concerns with me. But from fantasy perspective, I think RG3 does decent, but not great. But the Eagles' defense isn't the greatest in the world. I'm excited for Zach Ertz on the year, just because I think the Browns against tight ends aren't the greatest, and I think the West Coast type of system that Doug Peterson has in there for Philadelphia, I think, benefits him. If you would remember, Doug Peterson coached Travis Kelce for his first few years in the NFL, and look how good he has done.
Fair enough. I would, you know, I would actually talk like I was listening to you, Zach, but I was actually texting with T-Hole, so there was a reason why I was ignoring you, not just my usual reason of, you know, not kind of just whatever. But he did say that he has reception issues at the moment, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that he picked the Eagles just so our special guest Ramona won't feel like she got...
No, that makes me feel worse.
So, okay.
No, I don't know how I feel about that.
I can erase the text and just say he picked the Browns. I mean,
we're not going to lie. No, we're not going to erase emails or text messages.
Yeah,
we need nothing
like,
we need nothing to feed the Trump campaign, okay?
Right, I don't want to get Zach on some issues here. So, all right. So this game, I feel like I was kind of surprised about the Bengals pick. That's my own mistake. But I feel like the next game, I think we can have a solid, all three of us go with this one. It's Packers. I just combined the Jaguars and Packers in the same word. That was interesting. I have the Packers over the Jags. I don't see much of a contest. I mean, I know the Jags are at home. They've improved a little bit. I feel like at least they have. But this seems like a monumental task for them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers, too. The return of Eddie Lacy back from back from the donut shop. I think just in terms of fantasy, I think the only production Blake Bortles gets in this game is what he's been getting his entire career in garbage time. And I think the Jaguars are going to be down at some point in the game, maybe early, maybe in the late. But I think they're going to abandon the Jaguars. I think they're going to abandon the run completely and have Bortles throw the ball numerous times.
All right. Bortles. Ramon, any arguments, points?
Come on. Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay. A little more evenly. Maybe. Yeah, I'd say evenly matched game is the Vikings at Titans. This one was kind of a hard one to pick for me because I feel like they're pretty evenly matched. I wrote about the trade from the Vikings standpoint. I feel like Sam Bradford is a huge upgrade over Sean Hill, but that in a vacuum, yes. But in the NFL, I feel like it was not much of an upgrade. So I like the Titans in this game. I like the idea of DeMarco Murray having some success in this offense. They're obviously a run-heavy offense. I don't think that much have changed. Mariota has another year under his belt. It'll be interesting to see how he has in what he produces this season. I'm going with the Titans here. I don't know how you guys feel, but...
No, I agree. I think home, I think Mariota is very good. I think that having a season running back in DeMarco Murray and with the Vikings, you know, Sam Bradford just got there and he's already inconsistent even when he's with a team the entire season. You put him in, what, 2 weeks and you're expecting him to, like, be able to handle all that? I don't think so. So I do give it to the Titans.
I'm going to go with the Vikings just because I think their defense, which the team defense as a whole is one of my favorite fantasy defenses on the year. But I think they're going to get to Mariota quickly. They're going to shut down. I mean, they have Tajay Sharp at Mariota's disposal.
It could be whatever you want, man. It could be Tajay. You know, kind of like how you'd say fragrance. That's how I imagine it. So.
Or Tajay, yeah.
Yeah,
it's true. It's funny. I actually wrote about Tajay Sharp.
You wrote about him and you don't know how to pronounce his name? Come on. Come on, buddy.
It's funny. I'm not going to go off in a T-hole type rant about Tyrod Taylor, but I was...
I mean, you can't, man. He talks like he raps, you know? Like, he's talking with the beat, so...
I was an early supporter of Tajay Sharp, and... I think I'm interested to see what he's going to look like, but I don't know if he's going to look like much against this secondary, and I think the Vikings are just going to hand it to Adrian Peterson and say, win us the football game until we figure out how to work with Bradford, and yeah, I think the defense is going to win this game for Minnesota.
All right, let's see, we got 3, 6, 7, 8. I had to count out loud for no reason whatsoever. We have 8 games left to we have 8 games left to predict, but before that I just want to take a quick break for our other sponsors. We have a few sponsors that would like to say something. I don't even know what they're going to say. That's the mystery around it, so you guys will get to find out before me. Enjoy. Okay, just break. And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the breaks. I know I did. It wasn't much of a break for me. I don't want to lie to people. We don't really do anything during the breaks. We just kind of have a break spot. So again, the theme of the show is production value. So we're kind of taking you behind the scenes, a very meta conversation of what goes into podcast making for all of these, all of you who I'm sure care nothing about this subject. So I did want to take a break just to kind of gather myself, because the next game on the docket is my Chargers against the Chiefs. It's a tough game, I will admit. If you look at my rankings on the site, I've ranked the Chargers pretty low just because they appear to be flat in openers. They appear to always be flat against the Chiefs the past few seasons, and I just don't have much faith here. So I went ahead and picked the Chargers to win this game, resoundingly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's what I do, as no one would say, because that's horrible grammar usage. But what? Tell me. I don't want you guys to tell me why the Chiefs are going to win, because I already know why and how they're going to win. It's pretty obvious. But I want you guys to kind of look, have an optimistic view. Like, even though you picked the Chiefs to win, what are the ingredients, or what is the key to successes of the Chargers winning this game? Like, who do you think steps up? Is it Rivers to Woodhead? Is it a great game from Allen? Like, what do they need to do? Or is it the defense? I don't know. Like, you guys tell me, how can the Chargers win this one?
You need Melvin Gordon. You need Melvin Gordon to, like, be really good, like he was not last year. You need Melvin Gordon to finally live up to the hype.
I would like to see that, honestly. I would love to see that. I feel like he's a huge part of the offense. That is the reason why our offense kind of fell off last. I mean, obviously we lost Allen, our offensive line was in shambles as usual. But Melvin Gordon, the run game for the Chargers is very important. McCoy depends on it. Ken Wisenhunt on his return. You know, that it's no coincidence that Ryan Matthews' biggest year, not only was he healthy, but he also had Ken Wisenhunt as an offensive coordinator. They build this offense around the run. They set the pace for it. Zach, is this pretty much how you feel too?
I actually disagree. I do understand what you're saying about how under Wisenhunt, Matthews had the greatest year of his career.
He also had the greatest running back year since the years of LT, so it was pretty remarkable. It was a great season, so.
Yeah, no,
I'm just getting sentimental, like a tear is coming out of my eye, and I just miss Matthews. I'm so happy that Ramona gets to enjoy Matthews, because when he's on, he's pretty impressive.
It must be nice. I've never seen that Matthews, but again, fair he was point. Under Chip Kelly. Right. But he was under Chip Kelly. I blame Chip Kelly. We blame Chip Kelly.
And DeMarco Murray, so.
No, Chip Kelly broke DeMarco Murray. Don't even get me started.
All right, Zach, go ahead and finish your point. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, you know, that's fine. I also like to point out that under Wisenhunt, Rivers had the best year of his career. And the Kansas City rush defense is a pretty stout one at that. And I think this game is going to – I think this if the Chargers are going to win this game, Travis Benjamin has to do as well as he has done in Cleveland and kind of set the tone for how his year is going to be. Keenan Allen is going to be across from Marcus Peters, and I'm giving the advantage to Peters in that one just because I was really impressed with him last year, and I think he kind of and I think he shuts down Keenan Allen, and I think that opens it up for Travis Benjamin to make a statement early, and I think that's how the Chargers are going to win this game. I get it that Melvin Gordon needs to, you know, at least play well than he did last year, play better than he did last year, but I think
wouldn't take much.
Yeah, you're right. It really wouldn't, but I think this game is going to be on Travis Benjamin.
All right, so I'm going to muck you down both for the Chiefs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Correct. All right. It's all right. I'm telling myself that. I'm not telling you guys that. So, the matchups are getting a little bit spicier. The next one is very interesting, at least in my opinion, obviously because I just said it. But it's the Raiders at the Saints. I went back and forth on this. There are reasons why I like the Saints, just because they still have Drew Brees. They still have a pretty, I would say, a good offense, above average offense. Their defense is but the reason I picked the Raiders, because I'm just going to give it away now, is because I think they're a little bit underrated going into the season. Their defense is a little bit underrated. I think they have a wonderful defense. I like I wouldn't say even emergence. I would just say kind of the gradual evolution of Derek Carr. I like Amari Cooper. I love Latavius Murray. There's so many things to like about the Raiders, and this is coming from a Chargers fan. So I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I'm sure you guys are about to tell me.
Hmm.
Is it tough one? It was a tough one for me, but
it's tough for me, honestly. I'm bringing emotions into it because, again, and my listeners know, and I've hinted at it, my husband passed away in February. Right. He is a big Raiders fan. Part of me really wants the Raiders to win just because of him. But really, when you look at it, they're playing away. I just don't trust the old Saints. They're not the old Saints anymore. It's just kind of it's old man football over there. And
it really
The upstart, you know, Oakland, you know, their offense is really good. Their defense is getting better and better. I think if they had a better coach than Jack Del Rio, they would be outstanding. I said it. I have no problem saying it.
No, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
I feel like Jack Del Rio limits them. I do.
For me, I'm going to take the Saints, but this game kind of has the feeling of the Saints-Giants game that we saw last year where Breeze threw for 7 touchdowns, Manning threw for 5, and it's really who can throw the most touchdowns and win. However, I think the defenses certainly aren't as bad as they were last year, even though obviously New Orleans was atrocious under Rob Ryan when he was the defensive coordinator there. Until he got fired, thank God. But
I thought it was okay. I mean, his personnel was pretty bad. I mean, I don't want to put
Brandon Browner was probably the worst cornerback in the league.
Right, like when he had some weapons the year he came in, I thought, granted, I mean, it's sometimes personnel, sometimes it's coaching, but I feel like he kind of got a bad rap towards the end.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's funny, just to give a spoiler, for the Stardom Sit'em article, Latavius Murray is my start of the week.
Ooh, a little teaser. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How I see this game going, if I think the first option is it's a shootout and it's, you know, 49-47 final score. I think the second option, which might be a little bit more realistic, is that the Raiders dictate the tempo of this game. I think they can get out to an early lead. I think their defense has improved greatly, and I think they can hold the Saints to not as many scores as, you know, as they were last year. And I think the defense, I think, improves, and I think they will give it to Murray and say, here you go, show us that you're the true RB1 and that we shouldn't give the job to DeAndre Washington, who has looked good throughout the preseason and training camp. And so I think they dictate the game, and I think they can dictate the tempo. However, I just talked myself out of taking New Orleans. I'm going to go with the Raiders.
All right. Sounds good. I felt like you were talking up the Raiders a lot. To be fair though, the Saints are generally pretty good at home. In their dome. I'm not understanding why I'm not remembering the dome names this episode, but I will improve. I'll make a list.
Superdome. It doesn't matter. It's just a dome.
It's a dome. It's a thing with a roof on it.
It's going to be loud. I mean, and they're all going to be drunk and eating gumbo. It's New Orleans. Right. Yay.
So my Monday. So, what was that, Zach?
I just want to say one thing. One thing I wanted to say about the Saints was they have arguably one of the most loaded wide receiver receiver cores in the entire NFL. You know, they have Brandon Cooks, they have Willie Snead. Brandon Coleman is still, you know, a sleeper, and he can still provide at any given moment. They loved him last year in practice, and I don't know what happened, you know, in the game, but, you know, and they brought in Kobe Fleener. And if Ben Watson can produce at such a high level as he did last year, and you know, he was getting up there in age, I don't have any issue with Kobe Fleener.
Okay. Just because I'm going to blame this on me, my ode to my Chargers probably took up a lot of time, but I want to go through quickly on a couple more games before we get to the premier matchups. Really quickly, the Dolphins at the Seahawks. I have Seahawks. This seems...
Seattle, right? Come on. Seattle. Do we even need to talk about it?
Seattle.
Right. Not at all.
Come on. Exactly. Home field. Let's go. 12.
All right. Colts, Lions. I have the Colts. Do you guys agree?
I'm trying to look for. My heart says Detroit. My mind says Indianapolis.
They're playing away. They're playing in Indianapolis. Yeah, cold, I think that's right. that it's at Indianapolis. That's the key.
Which I do remember their dome name. It's Lucas Field, right? It's Lucas Field. I got one.
Yeah,
Lucas Oil Field. Yes.
I hate that I remember that fact though. I wish I could. Anyways, there's so many other things I wish I could remember, but remembering that seems kind of. Kind of productive.
I'm going with Detroit on that one, by the way.
Going for Detroit. All right. It is the Monday Night Football matchup, but I don't the Monday Night Football openers are always kind of wacky in that they kind of stink, but you're okay with it because it's the first week of football and you get two games. But let's go Pittsburgh at Washington. I have the Steelers pretty resoundingly. How do you guys feel about that one?
Yes, no one should cheer for Redskins ever. It's racist and wrong.
Yeah,
Fly, Eagles, fly.
I told Zach this. This is why we called him a Trump supporter, but he actually accidentally said their name. It's okay if you do. I don't care really at all. I don't say their name just because I live in D.C. and I protest.
Yeah, and I live 3 hours away. Trust
right,
me,
so
I'm
you know
in the
how
thick
it is.
Of it.
Yeah, and I kind of hate the team name, so I never
change
say
to the
it.
Warriors already. Stan Snyder and be done with it. Yeah.
Well, I prefer Redskin potatoes. That way, it's best of both worlds. I love potatoes. I love starch.
No, because you always know what it means. Warriors like is great because they've got those monuments and things like that, and it just goes well with Wizards and, you know, yeah. And
but they actually changed the logo to like a Mr. Potato Head or something. Then I think it. You know, right? I mean, they could keep the feathers on the Mr. Potato Head. I don't care. Well, that's still probably kind of racist.
No, it's very racist. Yeah, oh, right. My God.
Then it just becomes like a wrinkly Chief Wahoo, right?
From, oh, my God. Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah. No, I'm against it. That's why it's okay. I'm talking about it. So, okay. So I have the Steelers, Zach. You got that. Let's move quickly now. Steelers here?
I got Washington.
Oh.
Okay. Of course you do.
Yeah.
You're a Trump supporter.
Okay, we got one more game before we can talk about the two last games that are highlights for me. Rams at 49ers. I have the Rams. I think it'll be
the most
close,
irrelevant game ever.
Yeah, right?
Seriously, it's like, hi, two crappy teams that are in California. Go.
Yeah. I would be a little more intrigued if it was at Los Angeles just because I'd be really kind of interested in seeing how the new fan base is, how playing in the Coliseum will look like, how the Rams will react to it. But, yeah, I'm picking the Rams, and it's not a game I'll probably – think twice about. So Zach,
I'm excited for points for Todd Gurley. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm really just contradicting everything you guys say, but I'm actually going to go with San Francisco here.
Yeah,
would you like to hear my short blurb on why I think?
I mean, not really, but
no,
I'll just go with
no,
it.
No.
You can write about it. Yeah, you write about
okay.
it.
Okay. Go to the website and read all about
that's fair.
Zach.
That's fair.
Or you could just type it to him in an email, and I could read it as a commercial or something. I probably won't do that
to him. Probably is 140 characters. You can send it out as a tweet.
Right, just tweet. Yeah,
tweet to it. Like my five people that follow me.
Yeah, it's okay, man. I'll retweet it, and then it'll go out to a couple more. So the two matchups I want to talk about, I always talk about them because it's always seems to be a premier matchup, especially on Fox, but it's the Giants at the Cowboys. Now, obviously, these two franchises. Yeah. You know, it happens. I know as an Eagles fan, it's, you know. But to be fair, if it was Eagles-Giants, I'd talk about the same, or Eagles-Cowboys. It's, you know, the NFC East always intrigues me just because it's somehow full of derp and elite at the same time. There's always, no matter what happens to the teams, they always face each other like
it's the NFL's
game,
dirty reality show. Let's
right.
just, yeah.
I love it.
We are the Kardashians of the NFL. The NFC.
Yeah, that's the perfect description. And I think I have to go with you first, Ramona. I have the Cowboys pulling this off because I actually like Dak Prescott. Yeah, I like how he's looked so far.
I like him too.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess I got Zach already sold. But tell me why. I'm guessing you're picking the Giants, so I guess you got to tell me why.
No, I want to pick either. I want it to be where, like, you
this
know, again.
Nuclear
all,
missile or, you
pretty
know,
much. I want it to kind of be like. I kind of want it to be like the Eagles-Cowboys game last year where the Eagles just were terrible and then they kept injuring Cowboys.
Okay.
So, you know, I kind of want it to be like that. And
just
I know that's
attrition.
Awful.
Yeah.
But just that way, both are annihilated. Like, that's what Rush and Redskin fans are hoping for, too. It just makes it so much easier. I'm curious to see how Cowboys react again. No Romo. You know, they're like, no Romo, no problem. Like, well, you had massive problems last year. I'm curious about Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not even going to lie. I'm curious to see if the kid is going to live up to the hype. Again, I said this earlier. I'm going to say it again. All of y'all who picked him, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll admit it. But I personally feel like no rookie should go in the first three rounds of a fantasy draft. And
I would agree with
crazy
that. I mean, as a person who ranked him, I think I ranked him like 6 or 7. I kind of compared it like, well, do I want Elliott or would I rather have like AP? And I'm like, man, I really don't want AP. Maybe I'll just go Elliott. It was tough for me, but, and I think people would call me nuts if I, you know, threw him all the way in the second or third round. And it just seemed like everyone's on the bandwagon. That's what worries me the most. You know, like you said, everyone's expecting so much from him and it's so easy for a guy like this to maybe hit some, I don't know, just not work out. So, Zach, who you got in this NFC East showdown?
I got the Giants just because I think their defense has slowly but surely gotten better since last year. And I love I love Eli's targets with Sterling Shepard. Victor Cruz comes back. They still have Odell Beckham Jr. But really quick, the one thing I'm looking for in the Cowboys is not how well Dak Prescott does. It's not about how Ezekiel Elliott, if he can live up to the hype. It's not about Dez and his injury. It's not about Terrence Williams. For me, the number one thing I'm looking for is Lance Dunbar. And I wrote an individual.
That's a heck of a thing to lead up to, man. I was getting excited there for a second.
I know, and then all of a sudden I felt let down.
I wrote an individual player profile that you can read at rasball.com or football.rasball.com.
Yeah, one of those things. Mm-hmm.
And I wrote about him in early July, and it's gotten better ever since. So I want to see what his role is going to be, especially on passing downs with Elliott.
All right. So we got, I guess, two Giants, one Cowboys pick. And,
I want to abstain.
Yeah, that's fine. You can abstain. That's fine.
I'm not gonna force you. I want nuclear annihilation.
Yeah,
just annihilation. I want to be very Trump right now.
Just death and destruction. Yeah, it's totally
I'm
fine.
I'm being North Korea right now. Sorry.
Yeah, you're with the 40%. That's okay. We're fine with that. Yeah. So the premier game. This is why I probably had to conserve some time because I know Zach is gonna go ad nauseum on this because his Patriots are at the Cardinals. I'm gonna pick the Cardinals just because they're at home. I understand. I mean, if Tom Brady was starting, I would probably think twice. But again, it's Cardinals at home. They still have a pretty elite defense. Carson Palmer hasn't gotten to his week four out for the season injury yet. So I just I think the Cardinals are just too strong of a matchup right now. Before Zach, I was going to say pontificates, but it's more like blowdifies what he thinks of the Patriots. I wanted to get your take, Ramon, on this one.
Oh, I would have picked, even if Tom Brady were starting, I would have picked the Cardinals.
Okay.
This team is fantastic. They have just excellent balance on both sides of the ball. I love the Cardinals a lot. They were a couple plays away from being in a Super Bowl. They're very, very good. Do not discount the Cardinals this year. I made the mistake of doing that last year, and they snuck up on me. I have a feeling. I think the Cardinals are going to pull this game off. I think the Cardinals are going to surprise a lot of people this year.
All right, so really quick, I know we haven't gone over it yet, but I do want to get rid of it. You mentioned Carolina being a favorite. Do you see Carolina versus Arizona as your NFC championship game?
I could. I don't really see anybody else. NFC is such a weird place. That, you know, it's really top heavy, and then the rest of it's just kind of like, ugh. And that's just the way it goes. Where at the AFC, there's a lot of parity that we don't see in the NFC. It's very odd. So I feel like, again, the likelihood it will be Arizona and it'll be Panthers. And right now I would pick Panthers, but as the season goes on, I have the right to change. It may switch, but I would not be surprised if either one of these teams are representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't either. Whichever team is easier for the Chargers to beat is my modus operandi.
My only concern, again, they've got Rob Gronkowski, Martellus Bennett. That's going to be a really tough duo for the Cardinals defense to kind of defend. But still, David Johnson, I love him. I love Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's primed for a very good year. Carson Palmer under this coaching has played some of his best football of his entire career. So without Brady, you know, that secondary is kind of suspect in New England. I still don't trust any of it. And again, I'm an Eagles fan and I'm bitter about Spygate. So I never cheer for the New England Patriots ever.
I'll allow that. I'll definitely allow that. All right, Zach, the moment you've been waiting for, your team, the Patriots, I give the floor to you. What do you see this game? Do you see them winning? I would say that you're crazy if you thought Patriots going to win, but I did pick the Chargers, so I'm going to let you do what you want to do, man. It's all good. So you're in a safe zone. So tell me your thoughts.
Can I quiz you guys on one thing before I tell you why the Patriots are going to win the game?
God, why?
I'm not in your age range.
It's so late.
Anymore.
We're old.
Yeah, we're old.
People. Okay.
We don't do
so. Really quick, who do you
still
think?
Going through with it. Go.
Yeah. So I'm not even going to do the quiz anymore. But I just wanted to point out that Washington, Washington, Chicago, and Baltimore all finished better in the NFL against tight ends than the Arizona Cardinals, who actually even
was that actually
going to
be a quiz,
defense,
man? I would have thrown you off the podcast if that was part of the quiz question. That's terrible. You actually expect us to come close to an answer for that?
Yeah, that's why I scratched it at the last second.
I'm old enough to technically be your mother if I had gotten knocked up in high school, so please be nice to me, okay?
Yeah, you gotta think of that. I was gonna say think of the kids, but that I think that's a more powerful argument. So yeah. Think of the parents in this case. So you got the Patriots, right?
No, I don't. I have
you don't. Come on,
I have Arizona, on, and
why, Zach? Is it hurt? Does it hurt a little bit?
As much
as feel pain in your early life, this builds character.
Just because this is a highly informative podcast that we have rocking here.
This is
super informative and full of production value.
Exactly.
Those are the keys.
I don't want to give the biased take of picking the Patriots. I think it's Arizona. I can't really
see
any.
He's lecturing us.
Yeah, he is. We're getting schooled by a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Hashtag Razzball Grid again.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Why millennials are better than everyone. That right there.
It is a lesson that I've learned that you can, in fact, not have to be a homer to. Actually, I don't know what the lesson is. I forgot already. Ramona, thank you so much for guest appearing on the pod. I know this was an hour and 10 minutes of your life that you will probably negotiate about for a while, but I promise it'll be all worth it at some point in your life, hopefully.
This is life. I love talking about football, and I love coming on podcasts. It gives me an excuse to be in my walk-in closet, my studio, hiding away from the tiny humans on the school night. So, yeah, I know this is a ton of fun. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Definitely, and I urge all the listeners to go check out sportsgalpal.com. If only to listen to the podcast we did together is pretty awesome, but from there forth, we will be talking about the Blog Talk Radio League, of course, and if you go to weshouldnot.com, you can visit the We Should Not Be Friends podcast.
Zach, you're too young to listen to that podcast, by the way, Zach. I'm sorry.
Say that one more time.
You're too young to listen to that podcast, Zach.
Okay, very grown up. I'll stay away.
You could learn something from it, right? Get a head start. Being melancholy in the world of love. I think that's the proper descriptor. But Zach, thank you for joining us on the pod. Zach, what's your Twitter? I'm sorry, Ramona, what's your Twitter? I almost forgot the Twitter.
Everything's Sports Gal Pal.
Oh, so easy.
I know. I make it very man friendly to follow me. Yeah, and I live tweet during games. So, well, not this Sunday. This Sunday I'll actually be in Philadelphia, not at the game, but I'm speaking at a podcasting conference, the Mid-Atlantic Podcasting Conference. Is this weekend.
You should live tweet that. So
I will be live tweeting that, but I'll be live tweeting that as podcast websites, which is who hosts my website, and then Blog Talk is where I host my podcast for Sports Gal Pal. So,
all right, and Zach, go ahead. And what's your Twitter, my buddy?
You can follow me on Twitter at @OUHaveOneToo, which is OH the letter U have the numbers 1 and 2.
All right, and I'd like to specifically thank T-Hole for being around for 30% of the podcast, and I will give you 30% of his Twitter, @Lord. I'll let you guys figure out the rest. And so that's our show. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.